I'm going to go ahead and obey the Lord tonight. Yeah. Amen. I feel like God wants me to deal with these scriptures. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I tell you, I'm glad there's a heaven to go to, aren't you? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Said in the first verse of John 14, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Amen. Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, we praise you tonight for this glorious reminder that we have a place. We have a home. We have a Heavenly Father. We have a Holy Ghost, Lord, to help us live a holy life. We might enter into a holy heaven, Lord, according to the holy word of God. Help us tonight, Lord, to magnify your name. Preach exactly, Lord, what you'd have me to say tonight to these good people. Let us respond in the altar service, Lord, and realize that you are wanting to work among us tonight. We'll thank you for it and ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Let not your heart be troubled. Amen. The reason the Lord said, let not your heart be troubled, is because a troubled heart will paralyze the strength that you need to make the journey home. Amen. Let not your heart be troubled. And one man said, the reason he said, let not your heart be troubled, was because if you let it, it will become troubled. Amen. Oh, but I want to tell you something tonight. My interests are in the future. That's where I'm going. I think about the future often, and I know some people say, you know, people are so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good, but I want to tell you something, heaven's in view tonight for me. My interests are there. My interests are in the future. That's where I'm going. A wise person always makes preparation for the inevitable. Amen. The Bible says their name is 4:11. Prepare to meet thy God. He meant for us to make a preparation for an appointment. It may not be on your schedule tonight. Amen. But it's appointed that a man wants to die. But after this, the judgment. God's got some appointments. And I tell you, we'll keep every one of them when he calls us home. It won't matter what industry. It won't matter how many jobs we got on the board to complete. It won't matter how much stuff needs to be done or undone. Brother, I tell you, in a moment, in a twinkle of an eye, we're going to be called away, amen, out of here. I want to be ready, don't you? Praise God, I like that word place. Heaven is a real place tonight. It's not some imaginary place, some realm of consciousness that's been dreamed up, but heaven is a real place. We read of reward in heaven. We read of Father in heaven. We read of treasure in heaven. We read of the angels of God in heaven. We read of names written in the Lamb's book of life in heaven. Amen. Heaven's a real place. It's prepared. Amen. Heaven is a prepared place. I go to prepare a place for you. Amen. And because heaven's a prepared place, amen, it was built for prepared people. Amen. The bride had made herself ready. Amen. By taking advantage of the word of God in the blood of the Lamb, and they've overcome by that blood and the word of their testimony. Because heaven was created with a purpose, we're going to get there on purpose. Or not at all. Not going to wake up there and say, man, I live so bad, live like the devil, I wonder how I got here. Can't get there like that. It's a prepared place for prepared people. It was planned out by God. Amen. And heaven is the most beautiful place that the mind of God can conceive and the power of God can construct. I'd like to say that again so you can get a hold of it. Heaven is the most beautiful place that the mind of God can conceive and the power of God can construct. Oh, glory to God. My cousin, he got saved the same night I did. His name was Randy. He has since passed on. He was only 57, 58 when he left this world. Amen. He had some bad diabetic problems. But he told me, he said, Mike, he said, I'm not writing a book. And he said, but I want you to know, he said, when they was operating on me on that table, he said, it was just like I was outside watching them operate on me. He said, it was like I was just gone, man. And he said, I saw the most beautiful buildings that you've ever seen. He said, you've never seen angles on buildings like these. He said, there's nothing to compare it. I tried to think of something that I could compare it to, but he said, there's nothing. He said, there's three things. He said, that right there, the architecture of the buildings that I saw. And he said, and the robes that the people was there was wearing. He said, it was so glistening white. He said, you ever been snow blind so bad that you just couldn't see 2 feet in front of you? He said, with the sun glistening off that snow. And he said, that's kind of like it was. And he said, and the other thing was, and he said, there was such a love among those people that it was indescribable. He said, there was no way. He said, there was such a unity and such a love that he said, I never felt nothing like that before. And he was fixing to leave this world, and his brother had a hold of his hand. His brother Kenny was preaching tonight. Then I got saved. And Kenny told him, he said, are you afraid to go? And he said, no. He said, I already know where I'm going. Oh, friend, I'm glad that we can know that we know. Amen. Heaven's a prepared place for a prepared people. Amen. Oh, glory to God. The most beautiful city in this world would seem like a third world country in heaven. Beautiful mansions. Amen. Here would seem like a cardboard box in that city. Amen. It's made out of transparent gold. Amen. John was describing that capital city of heaven, the New Jerusalem. He speaks of the length of it. He speaks of the breadth of it and the height of that city. Equal in dimension. 12,000 furlongs. Amen. 1,500 miles. I wish Brother Eddie Godby was here singing that song 1,500 miles wide. Oh, glory to God. Amen. Not only 15 miles there wide. Amen. Just to help us appreciate the size of the capital city, the New Jerusalem. If it was put on a map of the United States, it would stretch from Florida to Maine and from New York to the Mississippi River. It's not only 1,500 miles long, but also 1,500 miles high. You can imagine the New Jerusalem. If it was, broken down into stories 15 foot high, that would mean the New Jerusalem would have 528,000 stories. And on each story, there'd be 250,000 square miles. It would be a city with a total square mileage of 1,188,000,000,000 square miles. The Department of Eugenics, which is population statistics, calculated that since man began on the earth, there have been approximately 32 billion people that lived on earth. If all 32 billion of them went to heaven, every family would have a room 198,000 square miles in size. If only half went to heaven, they would have a room 396 square miles per family. Amen. Billy Sunday said in one of his messages, if we could get a real appreciation for what heaven is like, we would be so homesick the devil wouldn't have a friend left on earth. Amen. Oh, God, help us tonight. Sometimes we don't get the view of where we're going. Is what kept old Abraham going. He said he was looking for a city whose builder and maker was God. Amen. Paul said, I got my eyes on the prize tonight. Amen. He was going to the finish line, brother. Amen. I tell you, heaven's a real place, but there's requirements to get there. Amen. You have to repent and turn from sin and turn toward God. Amen. Jesus, his first message in Matthew 4:17, amen, was repent. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. John the Baptist's message was repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus told Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Amen. Unless a man is changed, unless there's been a work done in his heart. Amen. I tell you, this is a no-so salvation. I've said many times when I walked through the back door of that church on September the 1st, 1982, I knew I was lost. I didn't need anybody to tell me that I was a hellbound sinner. I knew it. Amen. And I tell you what, That's really the first step to getting saved. You know the reason why a lot of people don't get saved? They don't know they're a hell-bound sinner. Or they're not willing to admit it. Amen. I knew I was. But I came down under conviction, knelt in old-fashioned altar prayer, amen, and asked the Lord Jesus Christ to come into my heart, and the Spirit of God, amen, regenerated my heart, amen, that old spirit that was dead in trespasses, sins, amen, became alive, and the Spirit of God applied the blood of Jesus Christ to my soul, and he wrote my name in the book of life, and the Spirit bears witness with my spirit that I'm a child of God. When I walked out that door that night, I knew just as sure and I was saved. Amen. When I walked out of it, as I knew I was lost when I walked in it. Amen. Praise God. There are requirements there. When the Spirit of God convicts us of our sin and we know in our hearts that we need to be saved. Amen. I tell you, you're the right people in the right place at the right time. But it comes to the time in the altar when we need to make the right move. Amen. Oh, glory to God. I'm glad I moved out. Knelt down. You know, I think back sometimes. I didn't know anything about the atonement. I didn't know anything about the doctrine of the baptism of the Holy Ghost or the coming of the Lord. I mean, I'm glad I do now. I'm glad that the Lord's helped me and I've learned some things. But I want to tell you, you don't have to be a theologian to get saved. All you got to do is have a willing heart and say, Lord, I need you to turn me around. Hallelujah. Oh, Enoch did. Oh, Enoch was walking one way and the Lord was walking the other. And the Lord stopped by and said, you're going the wrong way, friend. Why don't you turn around and walk with me for a little while? And he said, I believe I will. And he walked with him for 300 years. Amen. Till God took him. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. It's a turning around. Amen. When we know that we're born again, child of God, when the change takes place. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5 and 17 says, amen, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and oh, behold, all things are become new. Amen. The Lord will give us power. Amen. Power in our to become the sons of God. Power to build our house upon a rock and walk in the Spirit and in our bodies a living sacrifice and perfect holiness in the fear of God. Amen. Submit ourselves to God. All these things the Lord can do for us. Amen. Now, heaven's a real place. There's requirements. Oh, the redeemed are there. Aren't you glad for the redeemed tonight? The blood washed. Amen. Oh, what about these redeemed, brother? Amen. I want to tell you, they're all born again by the Spirit of God. They all possess repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. They're all led by one Spirit. They all build upon one foundation. Amen. Oh, I'm glad there's no other foundation that can be laid in that which is already laid, Christ Jesus. Amen. They draw their salvation from one book, and it's the Word of the living God. Amen. They're called the Church of the Firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. They're a royal priesthood, a chosen generation, a peculiar people, a purchased possession, a habitation of God through the Spirit. Amen. I'm telling you, I'm glad to be a part of the church tonight. Amen. The church which the Lord Jesus promised that the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Amen. The church that Jesus looked up to and said, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. The church that's certain to endure to the end. I said in heaven, the redeemed are there. Amen. Oh, glory to God, this church. Nothing can overthrow it or destroy it. Its members are persecuted, oppressed, and imprisoned. Prison, beaten, beheaded, and burned. But the true church will never be extinguished. Brother, it is a bush that has been set on fire by the Holy Ghost, and it'll never go out. Amen. It's been through starvings and stonings. Brother, it lives on through trials and tears. Pharaohs, Herods, and Neros have labored in vain to put down the church, but the redeemed church continues to burn. Amen. Oh, glory to God. Amen. This glorious church of the redeemed, they're all joined.
by one sinner, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. People may find fault with a church, but they'll never find fault with a founder, brother. Some people talk about what's wrong with the church. I can tell you some things are right with it. It's got the right founder. It's got the right foundation, brother. I mean, it's got the right destination, too. Woo! I said this church going out of here, brother. Amen. I'm glad to be a part of it. Amen. Jesus Christ. Because if the Redeemer is there, if the redeemed is there, then that means the Redeemer's there. Amen. Oh, Christ. Christians have laid quietly dying in their bed and have rested their head on the pillow of the cross of Christ's redemption as it span a gap between time and eternity. Amen. Lay hold on the cross. Never loosen your grip. Everything else in life will fail you, but the cross of redemption will carry you across the dark waters into that bright city where the Lamb is the light. Amen. I'm glad that the Redeemer's there. Heaven's a real place. There are requirements to be there. The redeemed are there. The Redeemer's there. Amen. Oh, the next thing I'd like to say is the rest is there. Rest. Amen. Heaven's a rest. A rest from sin. Never be tempted to disobey God again. We'll be through with the devil. I tell you, one step inside that gate, friend. Amen. It's going to mean something. I tell you, when I think about good brothers like Brother Gary Norris, he's a friend of mine. I mean, you know, he just encouraged me, helped me so much. He went on to be with the Lord. Great man of God. Amen. I remember talking to his wife. I said, you know, there's nothing that can take away any of the pain that we're feeling right now. But I will tell you this, he's done with the devil. He's inside the gate. He's in the place where we're all trying to get to. And when that happens, it can't be all bad, brother. Amen. I'll tell you, I'm looking forward to that day, that rest from sin. Amen. A rest from sickness. Praise God. And the inhabitants shall not say, I'm sick, and the people that dwell there shall be forgiven of their iniquity. Heaven's a rest from sorrow. Amen. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Amen. I'm glad that there's a rest that remains for the children of God. Amen. Oh, I want to tell you something. It's sweet music indeed that comes from heaven's choir when a weary pilgrim gets home from a long journey. Amen. Heaven is a rest for the soldier with the blood-stained garments when he receives the news that the battle's over and the victory's been won. Amen. Heaven's a rest for the sailor who's been tossed on life's sea of sin, sorrow, and sickness. I said heaven's a rest. The ocean of the world's been raging for long years. But at last, the shore's in sight. And the waves of time are breaking on the shores of eternity. Amen. And the storms of life have turned into a great calm. Amen. Said the sea was like glass, like under crystal. Amen. Praise the Lord. Because heaven's a real place. And amen. There's requirements and redeemed are there, the Redeemer's there, and there's rest there. Amen. But I'd like to say tonight that the record's there too. The record. Amen. God's got a hold of things, brother. I tell you, sometimes when you make an investment of your money and you lose it, you know, it bothers you, but you know, you can make it up. It's a possibility. But when you invest your life, brother, I'll tell you what, when this day's done, brother, it's done. And whatever you've done, you can't go back and undo it. You'll never have another opportunity. This day's going on. And through the years, they add up. I was standing out in the hall looking at those students down through there. And I went to OBI in 1997 to teach there. And I was figuring it up the other day that this is my 24th semester to teach. And I've taught over 7,000 classes. I don't know exactly how many I've taught, but but I've taught quite a few. I looked at 224 graduates. I seen 107 of them in a full-time ministry. And you know, you get to wondering if you made the right investment, if you're doing anything for God. And I was leaning against that wall, Brother Pinson. I was looking down that hall. Of course, if you've been to OBI, you know that they built that thing out of blocks, you know. And the Holy Ghost spoke to me, brother, and he said, that block that you're resting in your hand on there, he said, I know who put it in the wall. He said, you look at those lights that's strung down there. He said, I know who put the fixtures in, who pulled the wire. He said, I know who glued every coupling in this place. And he said, and I know how many messages you preached and how many classes you taught. He said, I can tell you what it was on the day that it was. He said, I can tell you right down to the last drink of water. How many times you been to church, brother? I don't know. Thousands. But he knows. Right down to the last one. And I tell you what, I walked out of there with a little different point of view on things. Amen. One man said, what are you wasting your life like that for? Hey, we're all spending our life. It's being spent every day, brother. And you only got so much of it. And you can't buy no more of it. That's why you need to spend it wisely. Amen. That's why we need not let the devil discourage us about things, brother. God keeps a record. Right now. How many times? How many people's been here 30, 40 years? Amen. Praise God. I tell you, there's been how many times, how much tithes you pay, how much the Lord bless you with, how much offering you give. Amen. God knows right down to the last copper. Yeah, he does. Yeah. Woo! I don't know if it done anything for you, but it sure done something for me. Praise God. Oh, Louis Pasteur, he was one of the pioneers of immunology. And when he was there, and they had rabies was just ravaging the land, and he was trying his best to come up with some kind of a remedy for it, and a vaccine for it. And he tried for years, and finally, after several years, he got it enough up to where he could. He thought he wanted to try it, but he's going to try it on himself. So he's going to infect himself with rabies. And then he's going to try it on himself to see if it's done, because rabies was ravaging the land so much. But a woman came. She had a young son. His name was Joseph Meister. And he was there, and he was dying of rabies. And his mother begged Pasteur, said, please inject him. Please inject him with that. Say, he has no chance to live. She said, he said, ma'am, he said, I don't really know if this thing will work or not. He said, I want to do it on myself first. She said, I'm begging you. Said, try it. We have nothing to lose. He said he injected that boy for 10 days, brother, and he lived. And they said years later, of all Pasteur, man, he done a lot of things since then, a lot of great things. But on his tombstone, he had three words, and that was Joseph Meister lived. Glory to God. Oh, glory to God. He was keeping him alive, brother. Amen. Keep on injecting people with the gospel. Amen. Keep living right. There'll be a time when you'll be keeping somebody alive. And God will bless somebody's life. Amen. I tell you, I don't know, Charlie Taylor, he was a man of God. And he just ran an old sawmill. He was a sawmiller. He said he was cutting boards out there. And they used to make him old sleepers for them houses out of that sawmill lumber back in our part of country, and I know they did here too. Man, you couldn't drive a nail in them. You couldn't hardly shoot a nail in them with a .22. I mean, it's rough. Well, Charlie Taylor said, God spoke to me and said, you need to saw up enough logs to build a church right down there in Lake Chapel, in a little old community called Lake Chapel. Yeah. 1942, brother. War going on. Things are happening, brother. The Lord told him, build a church right there. I wonder, Charlie Taylor's gone on to his reward, but I wonder if he knew he was keeping me alive. Because in 1982, 40 years later, I walked through the door of that little place at Lake Chapel House of Prayer. Gave my heart to the Lord. I was glad that old Saul Miller obeyed the Lord. I'm going to tell you, there's some older folk like, Brother Webb Sr. and others. Praise God, God knows every nail, brother. Hallelujah. And yeah, I'm going to tell you what, long years after we're gone, we don't know who we were keeping alive while we was injecting people. Praise God, but I'll tell you, I'm glad I was keeping mama alive. I was glad I was keeping daddy alive. I didn't know what I was trying to keep myself alive. Amen, but other folks got blessed. Other folks got helped. Amen, I want to tell you something. You're keeping somebody alive. God's got a record. Stay in there. Praise God. You might be keeping your son alive. You might be keeping your daughter alive. Amen, you might be keeping your parents alive. Yeah. Hey, man, God's got a record. Somebody come piano. I'm getting ready to close. Amen. Still believe in heaven? Oh, glory to God. Is it true that in my Father's house are many mansions? Is it true that he's gone to prepare a place for us? Is it true that he will come again and he might receive us unto himself? Is it true that where he is there will I be also? Is it true to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord? Is it true that John saw that holy city coming down from God out of heaven prepared as a bride adorned for her husband? Is it true? Amen. That when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we'll have no less days to sing his praise than when we first begun. Amen. Is Jesus Christ really the difference? Amen. Is the need of man the old rugged cross? Amen. Was Paul's message to the Philippian jailer really right when he said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved? Did God really so love the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish? Amen, friend. It is true. I was thinking when Brother Webb was talking about those words come there in Revelation chapter 4 and verse 1. The Lord saw that aged apostle John. He said, come up hither. John, I need to take you to higher ground, son. Woo! Mortal man can't do it, brother. I'd like to be able to do it. I wish I could preach like it really is. Praise God. There's a record there, brother. There's a reward there. I'd like to tell some of you folks one other thing before I quit here tonight. There's going to be a reunion there. Can you think of somebody that's going on? Going to be a reunion there. That old saint of God, brother, my first pastor's wife, had prayed for me, kept me on the firing line when I couldn't keep myself. Well, she lay down, leaving this world. She said, she pulled me down close. She said, Mike, promise me you'll meet me in that land. I said, sister, I promise you I'll meet you in that land. Some of you may have made some promises. I don't know. I'm just walking back here. I really can't see anybody. Oh, my eyes are wet with tears tonight because I know how great this is, brother. Amen. And probably there might be a son here. You can make your mother's day if you'd walk this aisle and say, Mama, I'm going to meet you over in that land. Maybe Mama's gone. Maybe a grandma is bringing back some distant memories. And you told her you'd meet her in that land. Maybe some friend. Praise God. It's amazing how paths go and how fast people grow up. I think about my own kids. I'm going to tell you right now. If I could lay my arm out there and the devil said, if you'll give me that right arm, I'll make sure all your kids are around the throne in the glory world. I'd say, go ahead. I like what one preacher said. He said, if this church was a rocket ship and I knew I could push the button and all of it go to heaven, he said, I'd push it in a heartbeat. Amen. But you got to decide to go, brother. You got to make up your mind to go. Son, I want you to meet me there.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Glory to God. I got a hold of it, but I don't know what to do with it tonight. Because I feel a stirring of the Holy Ghost. I tell you, I wish somebody just get up of their own accord and say, brother, I'm going to meet you over there. Is somebody here, you say, I'm not sure, but I want to be. Stand with me tonight. Amen. Well, is there somebody say, Brother Sheldon, I believe I want to go to that land you preached about tonight. Amen. I'm going to walk this aisle tonight. I'm gonna make the journey. Amen. Praise God. I want to tell you what. There'll be a peace in your heart when you lay down tonight on your pillow and you'll know. Amen. Somebody say, I'm going to meet you over there. Amen. Praise God. Glory to God. Praise God. Appreciate Aaron trying to do something with his life, trying to make sense of what's going on. Son, in everything that you do, Jesus never fails. Amen. Glory to God. Meet me in this altar. Amen. Aaron, come on, meet me in this altar right now. Come on, meet me, son. There needs to be some other families, maybe, and say, come on, meet me. Amen. Sister Sheila, come on, meet me up here. Brother Eric, come on, meet me up here. You want to go? Oh, God.
Praise God. Praise God. Why don't you grab a family member by the hand tonight? Somebody close to you. Just come on. Let's come and stand in the presence of God. We want to meet and have a reunion in glory someday. But right here, right now, we can make communion with God.